Welcome to Torah Timecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Daniel, Perek Yud Aleph. This perek is a continuation of Daniel's final vision, where the angel tells him to events in the future. It is much longer than any other perek, and with many more details. In the first pasuk, he informs Daniel that he has been defending Bnei Yisrael since the time of Daryavish the Mede. V'ani bishnat echat l'Daryavish Hamadi, amdi l'machazik u'lema'oz lo. As for me, in the first year of Daryavish the Mede, I stood as a supporter and a stronghold for him. Rashi explains, when the kingdom of Babylon fell, and the rule of Mede and Persia commenced, and the princes of Mede and Persia entreated the Omnipresent to make the yoke of their frightful rule heavy upon you, I, Gavriel, stood as a supporter and as a stronghold for Michael, your prince. It seems his entreaties were successful against Mede and Persia, as the Jewish people did not actually suffer any terrible hardships. There was only the threat of violence in the Purim story that did not come to fruition. In fact, many positive things happened during this time, most notably the building of the second Beit HaMikdash under Daryavish the Persian king. The angel informs him of the imminent end to the Persian kingdom with the advent of Alexander the Great and his great conquest of the known world at that time. It is here that the angel begins to tell Daniel what will happen, in impressive detail, during the Greek and Roman reigns. While Daniel could not have known the actual events and people that the angel tells him about, our ability to relate the prophecy to known historical events allows us to see with astounding accuracy what the angel foretold to Daniel. As Rav Meidan of Yeshivat Har Etzion writes, Daniel describes here in minute detail the history of Greek rule in Eretz Yisrael. The details are surprisingly accurate, and Abarvanel uses this as proof of the power of his prophecy. Whether or not we accept this, for every detail of the vision, there is a real corresponding historical event. Pasuk Gimel tells of the rise of Alexander the Great. Ve'amad melech gibur mashal mimshal rav ve'asa kirtzono. And a mighty king will arise and will rule a great dominion and do according to his will. Pasuk Dalet then informs us of the breakdown of his kingdom into four warring factions after his death. Uchamdo tishaver machuto v'techatz l'arba ruchot hashamayim v'lo lachrito v'lo kemash lo asher mashal ki tinatesh machuto v'lacherim milvad ela. And when he arises, his kingdom will be broken, and it will be divided to the four directions of the heavens, but not to his posterity, and not like the dominion that he ruled, for his kingdom will be uprooted and to others besides those. Indeed, Alexander died at his height, at the age of 32, and his kingdom did not go to his posterity, as he did not leave an heir, and it never regained its dominion. While four kings took control of four different geographic locations after his death, the angel only focuses on two of them, those that are relevant to the Jewish people, as mentioned in Pasuk Hei. Ve'yechazak melech ha-negev u'min sarav ve'yechazak alav u'mashal mimshal rav memshal to. And the king of the south will overwhelm the king of the north and his officers, and he will rule with great dominion over his ruling. Malbim explains that the king of the south, which included Egypt, will go on to become the Ptolemaic dynasty, including the king that would later commission the Greek translation of the Torah. The king of the north, the Seleucid kingdom, included modern-day Syria and Turkey, and would produce the evil Antiochus of the Hanukkah story. These kings would fight among themselves, with the land of Israel serving as the proverbial football between them. Let us examine a few examples of the historical accuracy the angel gives over in his message to Daniel, beginning with these two kings of the Greek Empire. We will first read Psukim Vav through Chet, and then give over the corresponding historical events. L'ket shanim itchabaru uvat melech ha-negev tavo el melech ha-tzafon la'asot meisharim v'lo ta'atzor koach hazroa v'lo yamod uzro'o v'tinaten hi u'mevi'eha v'hayolda u'machzika ba'itim. And at the end of years they will join, and the daughter of the king of the south will come to the king of the north to make a compromise. But her arm will not retain strength, and he and his arm will not prevail. And she and those who brought her, and he who begot her, and supported her in those times, will be surrendered. Ve'amad minetzer sharsheha kano, ve'yavo el hachayel, ve'yavo b'ma'oz melech ha-tzafon ve'asa behem ve'hechazik. A scion of her roots will arise in his position, and he will come to the army, and he will come into the stronghold of the king of the north, and he will succeed in them and take hold. Vigam Eloheham im nisichehem im klei chamdatam kesef zahav b'shvi yavi mitzrayim v'hu shanim yamod mimelech hatzafon. And also their gods with their princes and their coveted vessels of silver and gold he will bring in captivity to Egypt, and he will remain for years, more than the king of the north. Berniki, daughter of Ptolemy II Philadelphus, king of the south, indeed married Antiochus II, the king of the north, in 252 BCE following the Second Syrian War, which was from 259 to 253 BCE. This marriage did not last, and all were put to death in 246 BCE, as plotted by Laodike, Antiochus II's first wife and the mother of Seleucus II. She objected to her children being deprived of their royal inheritance. Ptolemy III, son of Berniki from the south, Egypt, took revenge on Seleucus II, son of Laodike from the north, and prevailed against him, described in verses Shep Zayin to Chet. Pasuk Yud Zayin presents another interesting correspondence to historical events, but not all the commentaries are in agreement as to who the women in this pasuk represent. It reads, Vayasem panav lavo betokef kol machuto, visharim imo v'asa uvat anashim yiten lo, lahashchita v'lo tamod v'lo lo tia. And he will set his face to come upon the strength of his entire kingdom, and the upright will be with him, and he will succeed. Now the daughter of the woman he will give him to destroy her, but it will not stand, and she will not be for him. According to Rashi, the daughter of the woman is us, B'nai Israel, as we are referred to by a similar title. He explains, now the daughter of the woman he will give him to destroy her. This is the nation of Israel, as referred to in Shir Shirim, Perek Alav Pasuk Chet, as the fairest of women. The king of the north will command the general of his army to destroy her. I say that he is Antiochus, the king of Greece, who issued decrees against Israel, and he commanded his general, Philip, to kill whoever identified himself as a Jew, as is written in the book of Josephon. Malvim explains this pasuk in historical terms relating to the wars of the northern and southern kings. He says, the northern king, Antiochus III, wished to conquer Egypt and was worried the Romans would not come to help, so he decided to use an underhanded strategy, and he pretended as if he wanted to reconcile with the king of Mitzrayim, Ptolemy V, and offered his daughter, Cleopatra, to him. He thought that she would remain loyal to him, her father, and they would be able to conquer Egypt from her husband. This is the daughter mentioned in the pasuk, the daughter of the women. Unfortunately for him, his daughter remained loyal to her husband and did not do her father's bidding. Pasuk Chaf could refer to the Hanukkah story. V'amad al kano ma'avir noges hader malchut uv'yamim achadim yishaver v'lo ba'apayim v'lo b'milchama. And one who removes the oppressor will stand on his base, the glory of the kingdom, but in a few days it will be broken, but not with anger and not with war. Malvim explains, and one who removes the oppressor will stand on his base. And Matityahu, the son of Yochanan, who removed the oppressor from Israel, and who is the glory of the kingdom of Israel, will strengthen himself on his base at Mount Modi'in, for he will be a prince and a mighty man, he and his descendants after him, the Hashmonaim. Pasuk Lamed is a transitional verse for both Malbim and Rashi, albeit representing different time periods and different rulers. Uvau votziim kitim, v'nich'a v'shav v'zam al brit kodesh, v'asa, v'shav v'yaven al ozvei brit kodesh. And companies will come upon him from the Kittites, and he will be crushed, and he will return and be wroth with the Holy Covenant, and he will succeed, and he will return and contemplate those who abandoned the Holy Covenant. Rashi explains that the Kittites are the Romans with whom the last Hashmonaim and rival kings Hyrcanus and Aristobulus made a treaty which the Romans never meant to uphold. This is actualized with the expression, and he will return and be wroth with the Holy Covenant, which Rashi explains, and he will return to his land and abrogate the treaty he had made with Israel. Rashi elaborates in the final clause of our pasuk, and he will return and contemplate those who abandon the Holy Covenant. He will put his mind to it and contemplate that Israel has abandoned the Holy Covenant and law, and unwarranted hatred and controversy will increase in the Second Temple era, as is written in the book of Josephus, chapter 45. And they will shed innocent blood, and he will rely on this and know that he will succeed, and he will abrogate his treaty with them and provoke them. Malbim understands this pasuk to describe the continued and relatively successful attempts of the evil king Antiochus to distance the Jewish people from the Torah. According to Malbim, this vision does not include the success of the Chashmonaim in putting down Antiochus, as that was already addressed in Perek Chet, as we explained there. Malbim elaborates that the angel was not interested in describing this short respite from foreign rule. Rather, his goal was to give over all the troubles Bnei Yisrael would experience in exile. He notes that this is the last pasuk describing the Greek exile in the angel's prophecy. Pasuk Lamed Bet through Lamed Gimel describe the heroic attempts of the Jewish leaders to help the people adhere to the Torah under the oppressive conditions of the Romans. Umar Shie Brit Yachnif Bechalakot Ve'am Yodei Alokav Yachziku Ve'asu. And those who deal wickedly against the covenant, he will flatter with smooth speech, but the people that knows its God will adhere and perform. Umaskile am yavinu l'rabim, v'nikshelu b'cherev u'b'la'ava u'b'shvi u'v'viza yamim. And the wise of the people will allow the public to understand, and they will stumble by the sword and with flames, with captivity and with plunder for days. According to Rashi, the wise people refer to the generation of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who lived in the 2nd century and redacted the Mishnah. Malbim understands it to mean Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who lived in the 1st century and orchestrated the transfer of the Sanhedrin to Yavne during the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Lamed Hei describes wise men who stumble. Umin ha-maskilim yikashlu litzrof behem ulevarer ulelabein ad et ketz ki od lamoed. And some of the wise will stumble to clarify some of them and to select and to cleanse until the time of the end, for there is yet until the time appointed. Rashi explains that this is the miscalculations of many great rabbis for predicting the end of the exile, as it is ambiguously mentioned many times in this Sefer. Will stumble to clarify some of them, they will stumble in the calculations of the end, for they will put their mind to refine them and to resolve them, to know them, but they will err concerning them. Malbim understands this to refer to the Bar Kokhba revolt from 132 to 135 CE, when Rabbi Akiva mistakenly championed Bar Kokhba as the savior of Israel. Rambam, in the Mishneh Torah, in the section dealing with kings and wars, attributes this stumbling to the time of Jesus. He describes what the world will look like when Mashiach comes in chapter Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet. If a king will arise from the house of David, who diligently contemplates the Torah and observes its mitzvot as prescribed by the written law and the oral law, as David, his ancestor, will compel all of Israel to walk in the way of the Torah and rectify the breaches in its observance and fight the wars of God, we may with assurance consider him Mashiach. If he succeeds in the above, builds a temple in its place, and gathers the dispersed of Israel, he is definitely the Mashiach. He will then improve the entire world, motivating all the nations to serve God together. As Tzefanya Gimel Tet states, I will transform the people to a pure language, that they all will call upon the name of God and serve him with one purpose. This is clearly not what happened during the time of Jesus. Rambam continues with a description of a false Messiah. If he did not succeed to this degree or was killed, he surely is not the Redeemer promised by the Torah. Rather, he should be considered as all the other proper and complete kings of the Davidic dynasty who died. God caused him to arise only to test the many, as Daniel, Yud Aleph Lamed Hei, states, and some of the wise men will stumble, to try them, to refine, and to clarify until the appointed time, because the set time is in the future. Jesus of Nazareth, who aspired to be the Mashiach and was executed by the court, was also alluded to in Daniel's prophecies, as Ibid, Yud Aleph, Yodalad states, the vulgar among your people shall exalt themselves in an attempt to fulfill the vision, but they shall stumble. Beginning with Pasuk Mem, Malbim understands the end of our parak to be referring to the end of days, most notably the war of Gog and Magog, as laid out in Sefer Yechezkel, and their inevitable downfall. Note how the king of the north has transformed from the Assyrian Greek king to Rome to now Gog and Magog. There are commentaries such as Ibn Ezra, Ralbag, and Tosfot Arid who interpret the final king of the north as referring to Christianity and the king of the south to be Islam. They will both see their end in between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain, Ben Yamim l'Har Tzvi Kodesh, mentioned in the last Pasuk Mem Hei. Har Tzvi Kodesh is seen by many to represent Eretz Yisrael. Thank you for studying together, Ilui Nishmat Rose Foreman, Rezal Rachel Bat Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bat Shlomo.